Welcome to the IC Medan podcast. We are so glad and wanted to thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about who we are, our service times and location, or how can you get involved, you can check our website at icmedan.com. We hope you enjoy the message.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Chris. Are you all having a good time this morning? Oh, okay. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, I just want to thank Pastor Chris and Pastor Carrie for the privilege of coming to be with you today. My wife sends her love and greetings to all of you. She wishes she could be here today, but she will. Sooner or later, she'll get here. And, you know, she's preaching back home this morning. And as you all probably know that, you know, there's a lot of changes are taking place around the world today. And we're getting ready ourselves in Malaysia for going online in this coming week, because you know our government is telling us to shut down for a couple of weeks, so we're getting ready for that. And so you know what, maybe it might happen here. You get ready for that. You know what, it's going to be a great opportunity to reach out to more people and a great opportunity to get touched by God. I just saw on my message board a few moments ago that our church in Manila, they're already closed down because they're all on lockdown right now. And so our church in Manila is watching our service from KL. So how cool is that? You know what? Nothing can stop the spread of the gospel. Amen. No corona, rona, whatever, you know. No virus can stop the spread of what God wants to do in His church and in the world today. And so, you know, I just want to say thank you once again, Pastor Chris and Pastor Kerry, for just giving me this opportunity and honor to be here. And like they said, you know what, they are very precious to us too. You know, such kind words that Pastor Chris spoke about me just now. But really, you guys have an amazing team here. You have amazing pastors here. Pastor Chris, Pastor Kerry, they are just awesome. Did you hear what I said? They are just awesome. Okay, you didn't hear what I said. Let me say that again. They are just awesome. See, you need to learn to appreciate and honor your pastors because they are gifts to this house. Amen? Honor them, love them, and I honor your pastors today. Thank you, Pastor, once again. I'm truly honored to be here and to have the time with your leadership team yesterday. It was such a precious time. And I'm looking forward to opportunities in the future for us to do more of these things together, work together, and build the kingdom of God together. Amen? Are you ready for the Word of God? Are you ready? Okay. Well, come on. If you're ready, give Jesus a big hand, will you? Come on, Jesus. He deserves our praise. Hallelujah. The title of my message this morning is The Generosity Factor. And I want to talk to you about generosity this morning because I believe that that is really where your heart needs to be this morning. Because today is Mission Sunday and missions is very close to my heart. I have been involved in missions from the very day that the Lord led us to plant our church in Malaysia. 25 years ago, when I heard the call of God to plant the church in Malaysia. I was in Singapore for 7 years pastoring a church, came back to Malaysia, and God said, plant a church here. And, you know, when we had 7 people in our church, just not even enough to fit this front row, just 7 people, you know, first Sunday service, the Lord spoke to me. You know, it was at that time where I was the preacher, I was the musician, I was the offering taker, and after the service, I'm also the cleaner of the church. You know, when you start something, that's what it is. You're everything, and then you thank God for the volunteers that come around, and you know, and they make a lot of difference. Hallelujah. So I remember sitting there on that Sunday, just getting ready to preach, and God spoke to me, and He said, "I want you to go plant a church." I'm like, "Lord, I haven't even finished planting this one. And you want me to plant another one?" He said, "Yes, go plant a church. Go to the Philippines and plant a church there. And take a portion of whatever you have here and sow it there and plant another church. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Because, you know, by convention, you want to plant something and see it grow first before you plant something else. But God was saying to me, that's not how He works. You know, sometimes we think that when we get to a certain size, when we have the resources, when we have certain things, then we will do more. But God's not like that. He wants you to just obey Him and to respond to Him wherever you are. And so we went to the Philippines. We planted our first church. It was crazy. 7 people, and we're planting another church. And amazingly, that became the beginning of a total of over 130 churches that we have planted over these years. We planted churches in the Philippines, which is our biggest mission field. And then we have 5 in Indonesia. And then we have 2 in Burma. We have 1 in Thailand. We have an orphanage children's home in Thailand with about 150 acres of land. And 50 acres of that land is mango plantation. If you like mangoes, you're most welcome to come visit our children's home in Thailand, where you can have mangoes for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner. And even when you sleep, you will dream of mangoes. You know what? Mangoes will be coming out of your ears, your nose, everything. You know what? It's just so cool. And we get to do these amazing things. And apart from that, we planted a church in India. And our latest church is now 2 years old. We've just planted it in the United Arab Emirates, and we are believing God that hopefully in the next year or so, we will plant another church in Singapore. So you know what? God has been doing this from the day He called us to serve Him and to plant the first church. So missions is really the heart of God. Whatever it is that you're doing, whether it is caring for the orphans, starting a new church, supporting a church planter, supporting a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist, you know, working amongst the prostitutes, working amongst street kids, whatever it is that you're doing, missions is the heart of God. That's really where it is. God's heart is for those outside this church. Somebody once said that the church exists for those outside of it. So you got to hear this today. Hear this with your heart, not just, you know, let it go in here and come out the other ear, but listen with your heart today. God wants you to understand that when you take care of His business, He takes care of yours. When you take care of what's close to His heart, He takes care of what's close to your heart. Your home, your family, your life, your business, your job, your career, your children. He takes care of that. See, missions is all about what's important to God. Amen. And when you get involved in missions, you're getting involved with something that's really close to the heart of God. But in order for you to be effective in that, you got to have a heart of generosity. Now, generosity has got nothing to do with how big your bank account is. It's got nothing to do with how much money you have. Or how much possessions you have. But generosity has got to do with the condition of your heart. Because generosity is a heart thing. It's a heart issue. And how big is your heart? How big is your heart to bless, to do something for others that's not within your immediate circle? As a church, we need to constantly look outside. Because that's the mission field. In this city, in your community, in the communities around, in the cities around, in the nations around you. Start seeing big, because God sees big. Our God has a big heart and a big vision for the lost, and He wants us to reach them by all means. Amen? The Bible says that we become all things to all men in order that we might win some. Amen. So we want to build the kingdom of God. And how do we do that? We do that through the mission field. Amen. We do that through bringing people into this house and being a part of this house. And so today, I want to challenge you to ask God to stretch your heart. Stretch your heart. Because, you know, missions is something that you don't do only when it's convenient. Because generosity is not something that happens only when things are good, when you have plenty. But when things get difficult, when you have a challenge, when you go through a crisis, what do you do? Do you stop giving? Do you stop having that heart for the mission field? No, you need to continue because that's important. Remember, I said to you just now, God promised that if you take care of what's close to His heart, He takes care of what's close to your heart. Amen? Challenges will come, but they are temporary. They have a lifespan. Whatever challenges you face today, just remember this, it has a lifespan, it will end soon. Whatever trials you're going through today, just remember, it's got a lifespan, it will end soon. Amen? Just trust God, believe Him, and stay on course. Keep believing God, keep doing what's right, and you will see that God will come through for you. Amen? You know, when our church went through a crisis in 2001, October 27, 2001, about a month after September 11th, and I'm sure you all know what happened on September 11, 2001. If you don't, just Google it, you'll know. There was the major terrorist attacks in the United States, and that kind of shook the whole world. It changed the climate of security in the whole world. Everything changed that day. But 1 month after that, we got attacked in Malaysia. And my church was the very first church. I don't like to get the distinction of being the very first church that got burned down in Malaysia, but we were. We were the first one. Maybe Indonesia, it was quite common before that time in different places. But for us, it was the first. We were the first church that ever got burned down. So one Saturday morning, some extremists came in. They looted the place, and then they set it on fire. And let me show you some pictures of what happened. This is our building. It was a factory building. It was a rented building. And this is what it looked like after the fire. But look at how it looks like inside. That was what was left. It was the upper floor, the office area. And next picture, please. This is our sanctuary. All you see with the frames of the chairs. That survived. Everything else was gone. Another view of our platform, our stage, our backstage area, everything was gone. This fire raged for 5 hours. They just couldn't put it out. Whatever they tried, it just kept coming back again. I don't know what kind of flammable thing that they used to start this fire, but it went on for a long time. Is this the last one? Is there another one? Okay, good. So this happened, and as a result of it, I had a choice to make. Because as a church, we were supporting the mission field in a big way. As I mentioned to you just now, we have so many churches that we were supporting, pastors, orphans, and ministries out there. And so as a church, whatever came in kind of went out. You know, all of our resources were always flowing through the church into the mission field. So when this happened, when we lost everything, we had to start all over again. And it was so challenging. It was so hard. It was so difficult. Because not only did we face the fire, but most of our people, over almost 90% of our congregation left us. You know, it's times like that you really know who's with you and who's standing with you. And we lost all the people. The next day, Saturday was the fire. On Sunday, everybody left us. Nobody wanted to be part of the church anymore. So 10% of our congregation, which was only about 30 people, were there. From a church at that time of about 300, we were only left with about 30 people. So can you figure how it would have felt like being the pastor of that church? That was me. But I had to make a choice that day. On the day of the fire, on my way home that evening, on that Saturday, after being interrogated by the police for 4 hours, I was on my way home and I was talking to the Lord because I didn't know how to deal with the situation. Because when I went to Bible school, they didn't have a class that taught us, what do you do when somebody burns your church? You know, it's like step 1, 2, 3, 4. You do this. There was no class. I was not trained in that area. And so I had to figure it out and ask God for wisdom. So I was asking the Lord, and I knew instinctively as a pastor, I know, okay, now we gotta start all over again. But I know it costs a lot of money to do that. And we didn't have it in the church because most of our resources were going to the mission field. So I was talking to the Lord as I was driving down the road, and I want to share this very amazing principle with you. And I pray that this will become a guiding force for you. God spoke to me as I was driving home that day, and He said, when what you have is not enough for what you need, then what you have becomes a seed. Can I say that again? When what you have is not enough for what you need, then what you have becomes a seed. Sow it. So God spoke to me and He said, take what you have and sow it. Give it away and I will provide for you. So while I was driving on the highway going home, I called my treasurer and I said, okay, tell me how much money do we have in church? I mean, I kind of knew instinctively, but he gave me the exact figure. And I said, okay, I want you to do this. Start writing checks. And as I was driving, you know, I said, okay, this amount to this pastor, this amount to this church, this amount to this ministry, this amount to that missionary, this amount to that orphanage, this amount to the woman's home and such. I was whatever that the Lord was putting in my heart and my mind, I was just telling Him to do it. And then he was going through the list and finally he said, oh, pastor, stop. If you say you want me to write one more check, then the account is going to be closed. So I said, no, we want to keep it open because God's going to refill it. Get ready. Because he told me that. So we got it ready. The next day, as I said to you, the next day we came together in a borrowed facility, and only 30 people came to church. Where was everybody else? They were either afraid to be a part of this church or they became judgmental. Some of them were even judgmental. They said, oh, the pastor must have done something wrong. That's why God is punishing his church. Honestly, I don't know that God, because my God doesn't go around destroying his own church. So, you know, we had to go through that, and it was tough. It was very difficult. And the people, when I told them that morning, I said, hey, it's time for us to you know, forgive whoever it is that came and did this to us. They all cried. You know, it was a very sad service, like a funeral service. You know, and everybody's crying and all that. And then when I told them we're going to give the money away, they cried even more. I could probably imagine that in their minds that morning, they were thinking, yesterday we lost the church, and today the pastor's lost his mind, you know, because he's giving all the money away. And you know, it was just one of those things, you know, that God taught me never to be afraid of being generous with Him. You see, when you are generous with God, you will not be afraid to lose out, because God will never let you lose out. Amen. See, when you put something in God's hands, it cannot be lost. It will come back to you. You know, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Did you hear that? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So when you put something in God's hands, when He puts it back into your hands, it's good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's how God gives back to you. God's never going to let you outgive Him. He's always going to outgive you. Amen. He's going to give back to you far more, far greater than what you've ever given to Him before. So this is really where generosity is, the heart of generosity. And so, as I said to you just now, remember this, that generosity is a condition of your heart. Amen? It's a condition of your heart. And if you catch this today, your future, you will never think the same way again. Every time that you are challenged to respond to God, to give to God, you know what? You're going to be generous. You're going to be big-hearted about it, because you know that God will never shortchange you. God will never, ever cause you to lack in any area of your life. Now, generosity, in the Word of God, in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25, Proverbs 11, 25 says, a generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So when you are a generous person, the Bible says you will prosper. See, generosity has its rewards. Amen. And I want to encourage you to cultivate that today. You see, being generous is sometimes something that we have to cultivate because most of us were not born generous. Because if you came from a family that was stingy, that was selfish, that's probably how you've learned to live life. And you always want to take care of number one, yourself. But that's not how the kingdom of God sees things. We always care for those around us. Amen. Remember, the church exists for those outside of it. So the generosity of your heart has got to do with having that heart for things that's not just yours, but other people. I remember a time when my wife and I, we as we were growing in our financial ability many years ago, one of our heart's desire was, you know, I used to say this to God. I said, I would love it, Lord, if one day, you know, I could just, if there was someone in need, I could just pull out my checkbook and write them a check and pay all their debts. I said, Lord, that would be really great if I could do that. I thought it was just a dream, but God made it a reality. Because one day, there was a single mom in our church. And she was really struggling. She just couldn't pay her bills. And you know, she was alone. She had a child. And she was struggling. She was drowning in debt. And we heard that she was really depressed. She was down and she was at home in the little apartment that she was living in. So my wife and I decided we're going to pay her a visit. So we went and saw her. And when we met with her, we asked her, What do you owe? And she gave us the list. It was a long list. And it was a sizable amount. But you know, because God had already started to do the work in our hearts, in my heart, in my wife's heart, we didn't have any difficulty responding to it. When we saw that need and we were able to say, ha, we looked at each other and we said, we can do this. And we said to her, okay, this is what we're going to do. Give us all your bills. And we pulled out our checkbook. We wrote a check to her and said, go pay all your bills. And you know what? Get it all settled. And live. Live happily. Take care of your daughter. Do you know that when we did that, she wept. She just wept. And there's something about generosity. When you can bless somebody and you can help somebody, you can see them come out of their situation and do life better. Amen. And we saw the joy of this woman today still being in the church, and she began to flourish just because someone gave her a little help. Think about that. You could be that person. Amen. And that's why we need to be generous people. We need to be just like our Heavenly Father, who's super generous. Isn't He generous with you? How many of you here today would say, Pastor, I know that God has been good to me. Can I see your hands? If you know that God has been good to you, God has provided for you one way or another, you've never lacked, but you saw God's hand upon your life. Now, remember this. Today, you get the opportunity to be a blessing to someone else in the mission field through this Sunday's offering that's going to be taken today. It's going to go out there. It's going to help somebody. It's going to bless somebody's life. Proverbs 22 verse 9 says, the generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. So when you are generous, you get blessed. Somebody asked me once, Pastor, when we give to God, is it wrong to expect from Him? Absolutely not. It's scriptural. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. So if you don't expect, then just tell God, it's okay. Give it to Pastor Chris and me. We'll accept it on your behalf. But the Word of God says, when you give, it shall be given back unto you. Amen. That's the Word of God. So expect. When you put something in God's hands, expect that it's going to make a difference and it will come back. It will come back to you. good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Hallelujah. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, it says here, but you, O man of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. And the most important thing about all of this is pursuing godliness. Now, we know that when we pursue godliness, we pursue God's character. We pursue God's nature. We want to be more like Him. And His nature is super generous. He's magnanimous. He's big-hearted. He wants to bless us at every opportunity. Look at King David. King David was a great example of a man who understood generosity. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14, it says here, David said, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? For everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Which means that everything you and I have, God gave it to us. So if you see it as God giving to you, you'll have no problem sharing it. You'll have no problem releasing it. Amen? Because God gave it to you in the first place. So you know that if God gave it to you in the first place, He'll give more to you when you release into His kingdom. Amen. So, again, you'll see David in the scriptures, he says, you know, I will not offer anything that costs me nothing. So David was not a cheapskate. David was not, somebody who was going to withhold from God. When he was going to give, he was going to do it real good. In fact, the Bible tells us that David so desired to build the temple. You know, this past few weeks, I was in Israel with my wife, and we got to see the Temple Mount and all of that. And I was just imagining the Temple of Solomon in all of its splendor and its majesty. God said that David was not going to get the opportunity to build it. His son, Solomon, was going to build it. But you know what the heart of David was? David's heart was this. If I can't build it, then I'm going to provide for it. If I can't build it, I'm going to... You see, that's the heart of generosity. Sometimes we're in church, you know, and we only want to get involved in something if it will have some benefit for us. But you see, sometimes what you do may not have a benefit for you, but it will benefit the kingdom of God. That was the heart of David. That's why God loved him so much. That's why, despite the fact that he was imperfect, God said, this is a man after my very own heart. Amen. Because he was generous. David collected all of his treasury. He put together the best, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, all the materials he prepared for his son Solomon to build it. So that's the heart of generosity. My prayer is that you will catch that today. That you will have that heart of generosity, that you will want to be a part of what God is doing through this church. This church is good ground. Let me tell you something. This church, IC Maidan, is good ground. Whatever you sow into this church goes into the mission field, goes to help the needy, goes to help the poor, goes to help those who are in prostitution, to get them out of there, who've been abused, to get them out of that. You know what? This church is doing so much. And how amazing it is that you get to be a part of it. You get to be a part of it. And that's an honor. That's a privilege. Hallelujah. You know, the word generosity means liberality in giving. It also means open-handed. It also means magnanimous. It means marked by abundance or ample proportions. How does that compare to your heart? Do these words describe your heart? If it is not, then it's time that it did, because it can change today. Amen? It's a decision you make. You make a decision, I'm going to be generous, and then you start seeing the hand of God. You know, if you can take somebody out to lunch today, that's the first step. Yeah, it's the first step. Take somebody out to lunch. Bless them real good. Don't just order for them the cheapest thing on the menu. But get something really good, because that's generosity. Amen? And I've learned this. Generosity begets generosity. See, when you are generous, people will be generous with you. Amen? Some people wonder, how come nobody's generous with me? That's because you're not generous. Start being generous and you see. Next week, people want to take you to lunch. People want to take you to dinner. People want to do nice things for you. Amen. You got to understand that God is going to bless you when you have a heart of generosity. So, talking about generosity, time is running real fast. You got to plan generosity. Generosity is something that you must plan. It's not something that's just going to happen by chance. You know, you got to plan it. You got to have a heart for it. When you have a heart for it, you plan for it. So the same way, when you come to church every week, when you come preparing to worship God, the Bible says when we come, we bring our offerings to the Lord. Amen. Even though today we have many options of giving to God, like online giving, and you can come and give physically, and that kind of, but that's the point here is this: you still bring it to the Lord. Amen. You come preparing, you prepare yourself, you bring it, and you present it to God, whether you're doing it online or physical, cash or a check or whatever you're doing. Listen, it's something that you schedule in your life. Generosity needs to be scheduled. In Isaiah 32, verse 8, it says here, "But a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand." So a generous man devises generous things, which means a generous man is always looking for an opportunity to be generous. He's always looking for a way. What can I do? What can I do to bless? What can I do to add something to somebody else? What can I do to be a blessing today? That's how a generous person is. Amen. You're not waiting for somebody else to pay for you. You're waiting to pay for somebody else. That's a generous person. Hey, let me tell you something. I've discovered that some of the most generous people I've met are not rich people. I got to say that, because it doesn't mean that somebody's rich, he's going to be generous. Because he can be rich, but he can be someone who's tight-fisted. Amen. Now, having said that, I'm not against rich people. But I would love it that if you would catch this heart of generosity toward God. Amen. Because in my experience, I've seen many people who are just average, regular income earners, but they have such a big heart. And when they have such a big heart, I see God take them higher and higher and higher. And, you know, and I've watched their lives, that they never stay where they were. They're always advancing because they have a heart of generosity. And God is constantly adding to them because their hearts are big. Their hearts are willing. Amen. Amen. They're not the kind of people where God says, "I want you to do this," and they say, "Here am I, Lord, send her or send him. Here am I, Lord, but let him give or let her give." You do your part. Every one of us, we need to do our part and make a difference together. Amen. And for those of you who are students here today, I need to say this. Sometimes students have this mindset, "Oh, we have nothing." But nowadays, the students have sometimes more than what other people have. Some students think, "Oh, I'm just a student. I live on the you know, generosity of my parents, to go to school." But let me just say this to you today. You learn generosity right now if you're a student. With whatever you have, you, from what you receive, you put a portion of it and you say, "I'm going to be generous with God." And you watch how God will expand it. God will grow it. And what you're doing is you're training yourself to position yourself to receive the best from God. Amen. So today, I got to round it up right now. I got 5 more minutes. But I want to encourage you today to schedule generosity. Not just to let it happen by chance, but plan and prepare for it. Which means when God blesses you, when God gives you an extra blessing in your life, what do you do with it? You plan, put things aside and say, this is what I'm going to give to the mission field. This is what I'm going to give for my tithe. This is what I'm going to give for my offering. This is what I'm going to do to bless somebody. Hey, that kind of a heart, get ready. You're going to get blessed real good by God. Amen. 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 So, finally today, set event markers that will trigger your giving. So, as I said just now, plan it and set event markers, which means schedule it. Schedule it. I realized something, that when we don't schedule things, we never get to doing it. Isn't that true? We got to schedule things. And today we live in a world where we got so many devices that we can schedule things. Time to wake up. Your phone will tell you it's time to wake up. Time to eat. The phone can tell you, now eat. Time to go to sleep. The phone can tell you, time to go to sleep, right? Or time to go watch a movie. The phone can tell you it's time to watch a movie. So why shouldn't your phone also tell you it's time to give to God? Amen. Like on a Saturday, you get ready. You're going to church tomorrow. I got to get my offering ready. I got to get my tithe ready. I got to get my missions giving ready, because I'm going to church. I'm going to worship God tomorrow, and I'm going to give my best to Him. You see, it's all about heart. Where's your heart today? How many of you here today would say, Pastor, I want to make a difference in the kingdom of God? Let me see your hands. You want to make a difference? You want to do something that will make a mark that can never be erased in the world today. You want to be a world changer, a world transformer. You want to transform lives. You want to change lives. You want to see people come into the kingdom of God. Well, you know what? You can be. You can be that person. But you got to first cultivate a heart of generosity towards God, because it's got to do with that. When you have a heart of generosity towards God, you will give to Him. And you will be liberal. You won't be afraid of letting go, because you know who your source is. When you know who your source is, He will take care of you. You know, I forgot to tell you that when we gave away all that money from our church, the very next day, the miracle started happening. Sunday, we gave it all away. Monday, the provision started coming. Every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every day of the week, we had money coming in from God knows where. I don't know about you, but I like that very much. You know, Saturday, Sunday, post office is closed, so nothing happens. But then Monday starts again, and this thing happened for 6 full months. Let me tell you something. One simple act of obedience to the Lord resulted in 6 full months of provision. And at the end of that 6 months, we had more than enough to start again and to begin church. Now, the irony of this is this: when that fire hit us, we had 300 plus people coming to church, right? And we couldn't even buy a place; we were renting that facility that you saw in the pictures just now. But 1.5 years later, after the fire, with a congregation of 30, we bought 2 factories. 2 factory buildings. How is that possible? In the natural, it's not. But that's what happens when you have a generous heart towards God. Because God knows how to put things in your hands, put resources in your hands, so that you can build His kingdom. Amen. 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 And those of you who've come to Malaysia with Pastor Chris, you've seen our church. That is the building that we own. We have 2 factories there. And God provided for it. When we had 30 people, we were able to buy. God sure has a sense of humor. What am I saying here today? You can make a difference. You can make a difference for God. Amen. How many of you say, Pastor, I want God to stretch my heart today? Let me see your hand. You want God to stretch your hearts today? You know, stretch your hearts. Really stretch. Come on, say me, stretch. Come on, say it like you're stretching. Stretch. See, if you can say it, you can have it. God is going to stretch your heart. God is going to stretch you today, and He's going to put His heart in you. And when He puts His heart in you, you will start to have compassion, love, concern, and a desire to make things happen for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? Are you ready to do that today? Come on, stand with me to your feet. I want to pray with you this morning. If you desire this morning to see God stretch you, stretch the capacity of your heart, I want you to just raise your hand to God. Come on, we're going to... It's really a commitment to God, saying to Him, Lord, help me. Help me to see things like You do. Help me to have Your heart. Help me to have what You have in Your heart for the lost, for people who do not know You, for people who need to know You. So many people are dying every day without the gospel. So many people are dying daily, not knowing Jesus. And here we are. We have the privilege of empowering men, women, ministers, pastors, churches to go and do that in those communities by our giving, by our generosity. So let's pray. Let's ask God to stretch our hearts today. Come on, everybody's hands lifted up. You want God to touch you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for every person whose hands are raised before You. I thank You, Father, that in the name of Jesus, that Lord, that You are able to do a work in our hearts today. Lord, do that deep work in our hearts. That, Father, that our hearts will be enlarged today and filled with the spirit of generosity. Generosity toward You, toward Your church, toward Your kingdom, toward the mission field. I thank You, Father, that when we are generous with You, You are even more generous with us. So I ask in the name of Jesus that You would do this in the lives of Your people today. Stretch their hearts, Lord. Stretch their hearts, Lord. And Father, place within them a spirit of generosity. I thank You, Father, that will be the hallmark of this church. That I see Maidan will be known as a church that is generous. A church that is making a difference. A church that's making a mark that can never be erased in the world around us. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Bless Your people today. Bless this church. Bless their mission field. Bless the pastors. Bless the leaders. Bless every member here today. And I thank You, Lord, that greater days, greater things are in store for this church and for its people. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say, amen, amen, amen. Amen.
This is the end of the message today. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.